Action.com today.
Welcome to this version of America's Mind. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between, including my favorite, the flyover states. Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News joins us here right from the get-go. Talk Radio News, of course, inside the Beltway. They give us the best scoop in the business, I'm telling you. Budget, budget, budget. A lot of you have been writing me emails. We've been talking about it a ton here on this show, analyzing it. Even we came up with what would you do if you had to figure out the budget problem and you were so far apart and where would the axe fall. Ellen, so budgets, 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 and more budgets is really the one we're concerned about. And the VP jumps into the fray. What's that all about with Biden?
Essentially, the VP went up to Capitol Hill today, and he had a meeting with Harry Reid, who's the Senate Majority Leader, McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, Boehner, the Speaker of the House, Pelosi, the former Speaker, and now the Democratic Leader. And the Democrats were calling it a summit. The Republicans said, no, there is no summit. By the way, the other person joining the meeting was Bill Daley, Chief of Staff, and the Budget Director, Jack Lew. And the Vice President issued one statement afterwards. It was one line, basically something like, we've talked and we're going to continue to talk. I mean, Victoria Jones Romney said, that's news?
I talk to people all day long and they write me things like that. I bet you do too. So how about that? What's going on with Libya? What's the latest there? Because now the president is starting to take big swings at Gaddafi.
Well, that's for sure. The president said that Gaddafi is going to be held accountable, that history is moving against him. He said the reason that there was success in Egypt was because there was a full ownership by the Egyptian people, and people felt they had tried the United States had not tried to engineer this. So that made a big difference. And also now we're hearing that there's this 30 group. This did not come out in a press conference, but there's a group of 30 people that are considering themselves the legitimate government from representatives all over the country. They're going to ask the United States to recognize them as a government.
Wow, 30 people, huh?
And from apparently all over, sort of the representative government. The president also said that he has basically given no holds barred to the military to come up with solutions and plans, and in consultation, of course, with our allies, NATO and others.
Yeah. Let's go from Libya to Mexico. The Mexican president, Felipe Calderon, of course, in Washington. They did a joint press conference, they being the president and Calderon. One of the things was Mexico and trucking. That's a hot issue, Ellen, here in America tonight. A lot of truckers even call the show and complain or confused about what's going on. So what did they talk about?
Well, it looks like, you know, I tend to call it NAFTA Shafta. That gets me in trouble, but I have been calling it that since NAFTA was signed. And they agreed to reduce one half of the tariffs. In other words, a half of the tariffs will be lifted. And supposedly the U.S. Department of Transportation is going to make sure that the drivers actually pass driving tests and can speak the language enough to get around in the United States, which had been a complaint. Of course, nobody's addressing the fact that Mexican truckers are getting paid a much less money than the American truckers. And, of course, that threatens our American trucking industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be talking more about that on the show. This is a big one for a lot of people who have their own businesses. The 1099 part of the health care law really got under the skin of a lot of people. The president and State of the Union address talked about removing that, and voila, it is repealed. Am I right?
It has to go through a Senate vote. It went down 196 to 127. And what I don't know is there was supposedly sort of a poison pill in the bill about having people having to pay back health care if it was above a certain amount. We're not sure that that is actually still in the bill, and that's where the 127 may have voted against it. But basically, it is a done deal in the House, and it will probably be a done deal in the Senate.
All right, so that would probably happen, I bet you, pretty fast. Oil price.
Maybe tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's what I figured, right before we go away for the weekend. Oil prices and what's attached to that with the exporting combined, and of course all the conversation about the Middle East and whatnot. I'm sure that that's been part of the discussion. What's happening there?
Well, the World Food Program is very, very worried about this because, of course, whether you take your grain from the market or somewhere else, food prices are going up, and they're going up because of oil, and they're increasing 2% or 2.2% in I think the last month or so. Well, that may not seem like a big amount, but when you don't have any money, that 2.2% can be a huge amount. And again, that's not for the year. That's for a very short period of time.
Yeah, no kidding. You got some good stuff here for us. We have a lot of soldiers that have come back, that listen to the show, that call us. We've talked to a lot of soldiers that have served in previous wars. And now the Army Chief of Staff says, how long does somebody need when they come back to, I guess, assimilate back into society?
That's correct. General Martin Dempsey said that soldiers need more than, that he was speaking to the Senate Armed Services Committee, more than a year to recover from deployment, and that they really do need that time. And so I think this has been a huge issue that is happening about how much time and how do they get soldiers prepared. And I mean, and as you know, these are big issues, even including how people get recognized for traumatic brain injuries, et cetera. But we're not even talking about those people. We're talking about everyday soldiers, non-injured, been in the field for a long period of time, needing more than a year. That was the testimony today.
Yeah, that's good news. That means that those, and certainly you've seen it, those back-to-back deployments, I think really, my two cents, I think it really hurts a lot of the men and women who serve.
And their families.
Yeah, absolutely. Ellen Ratner, thank you so much. Talk Radio News, we appreciate the time. Forth with Ellen. This is called Laying Down the Gauntlet. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor said that the Republicans plan to keep spending at a rate of $2 billion a week through two-week spending bills. Now, what are they doing here? They're going to keep doing it until the Senate makes clear its position on the budget for the rest of 2011. You know, pretty much he's saying, I would say that I expect the House to continue the process of cutting the money until we can see where this caucus goes and where the Democratic leader in the Senate is on all of this. And, boy, there's a little bit of back and forth on this whole spending thing and ultimately where those cuts would lie. We're back to the same thing. Republicans looking for $100 billion from the White House proposal or $61 from the 2010 spending levels. And pretty much they're equal cuts because both get spending back to 2008. But how ridiculous is it? It's like we keep saying over and over again. We had some great suggestions on a previous show. What would you do if you had a few minutes alone with a senator or a congressperson and all you could discuss was the budget and you had to give your suggestions as to how to balance a budget? You know, we got everything from they don't take a salary. No salary. You can't balance this budget. You don't get paid. Big ruling down in Florida. Healthcare was over the individual mandate. Florida judge basically could be kind of a break for the Obama administration. A Florida judge refuses to halt the healthcare law. But what does that mean? It means it's headed, I'm sure, ultimately to the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about it next with a professor of law from Northwestern. Stay with us.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. LaSig.com. LaSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LaSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LECIG.com. LaSig, for today's modern smoker.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
One more time. Wait a see. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Around the world. Judge Vinson's ruling out of Florida. Specifically, this is what it is. Basically, Obamacare is still unconstitutional. The federal government wants to appeal his decision. They got 7 days to do so. Here's what the judge said. He said that the citizens of the country have an interest in having this case resolved as soon as practically possible. And, you know, we're talking about the individual mandate and the constitutionality of it. So we are very pleased to be joined by Professor Stephen Presser from Northwestern Law. Professor, your reaction to the judge's ruling and the significance of it.
Well, there's nothing really extraordinary about it. Basically, what he said was, I meant what I said, and if the federal government has a problem with that, they should file an appeal either in the 11th Circuit or with the U.S. Supreme Court.
And the conclusion, do you think ultimately, in your expert opinion, does this goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, do you think?
I'm sorry?
In your opinion, does this go all the way up to the Supreme Court?
Yes, eventually the Supreme Court is going to have to take a position on this. But what the judge said was, I meant what I said, and now you can take it to a higher court, either the 11th Circuit or to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, wow. What in looking at the at what has happened here, you weren't surprised, obviously, of this challenge, were you? I mean, you're an expert in this. Because was it glaring to you that this would be challenged in the first place?
No, I think all of us knew that sooner or later this would have to go either to a court of appeals or to the Supreme Court. If there's any surprise here, it's that the federal government didn't understand as easily as it might have what the judge had clearly said. And his decision today basically said, hey, you guys, listen up. This is not a hard thing. I made it as clear as I could that this is an unconstitutional statute, and if you don't like it, take it to a court of appeals. And by the way, I think you should do it as quickly as possible, and you have 7 days, basically, to do it.
Yeah. And of course, judging by the speed of how things happen, this could – 7 days to do it, but by the time we watch this – I don't know, the decisions ultimately handed down, I think is still a little bit down the road. Do you think so, Professor?
Well, yes. And I was a little surprised that it happened as fast as it did. The 11th Circuit will have to decide whether it wants to hear it, or the federal government could conceivably ask for a United States Supreme Court decision, but I doubt that that will happen. My guess is, we'll now have an 11th Circuit decision in the near future. But all that the judge said today was you need to file whatever is necessary to get the 11th Circuit to move on it, and I think that will happen.
Yeah. What does this, from the constitutionality of this whole thing, pretty much if we were to sum it up, is it showing that, listen, the federal government can't force people to buy things, can't force people to buy insurance. Do you think that's pretty much it if we were trying to cut through the legalese?
Yes, that's the decision that the judge rendered. He said, look, there's a decision between action and inaction, and the federal government simply doesn't have the power to tell people that you have to buy something. If you want to make it simple, that's what it was.
Yeah. Professor Presser, Northwestern Law, thanks so much. We appreciate your 2 cents here on America Tonight. All right, and so you heard what the prof had to say. Thinks it goes up to the 11th Circuit. I agree. You know, we know it's going all the way up to the top. We knew it the second that the various states threw in on the suit to challenge the constitutionality of the individual mandate. Now, you also heard at the top that the 1099 deal was repealed. That was also inevitable, especially with the president saying, oh, well, I understand that people don't want that. I'm fine with that. And that, just so you know, part of the Obamacare or affordable health care law, part of the deal included if you had vendors, you were going to, you paid them $600 in a year, you were going to have to follow those 1099s, which would have been a nightmare for the IRS and which was ridiculous, and there was enough people that balked at it, that was an easy one to just disregard. But we certainly haven't heard the last of the individual mandate. There's no question about that. A couple of other quick things I want to throw in here, because coming up on the flip side, in the next 8-10 minutes, we're going to do a four-year health deal, actually talking about cosmetic surgery. I'm stunned. I mean, seriously, I'm stunned at how many people have gotten things done. Now, L.A., Miami, and Dallas are, believe me, are famous for this. But I'm talking about the everyday Joe having a tweak here or there. I don't know. What happened to the aging gracefully thing? And what I say is, listen, you should be able to do whatever you want to do, but I am very surprised at how many people have everything from, you know, eye lifts to necks done to whatever it might be. And we're going to talk to one of the leading cosmetic surgeons about the whole phenomenon, the explosion, really, of cosmetic surgery. Before we do that, though, in Wisconsin, it has gotten very interesting because you can't keep doing the same old thing. So now the 14 Democrats who are missing or hiding face arrest when they come back. That's it, pretty much. It's now or never. The pro-union protesters are no longer allowed to sleep at the Capitol. A judge ordered that after the building closes, after normal business hours, get out, because we're not keeping it open any longer. By the way, that was draining the money from the state because of all the extra security that had to be there. So I think that was part of the deal there. But the Democrats that have been gone for over 2 weeks. Boom. They made their statement, but then they didn't come back. the governor says, you know, hey, $100 a day, fine. And now they're talking about, okay, this is the scoop. You don't want to come back for this. We've just passed a resolution calling for police to take the Democrats into custody for contempt since they left, went to Illinois to avoid voting on a bill that would strip those unions of the collective bargaining agreements, you know, the meat of the collective bargaining agreements, the power, basically, that they had with the raises and the pensions, the collective bargaining rights, in a nutshell, almost everything down the line. So that's why they left, to stretch this out and I guess to think that something else would happen. At this point, what the governor is saying, okay, so here's the deal. Now you don't come back. We're in this position. We got no money. Then we're going to start laying people off. Furloughs. Furloughs are starting. So the Senate majority leader there, a guy named Scott Fitzgerald, signed the order, so it's official, after they called the vote 19-0 for the action unless the Democrats return to the chamber. None of the Democrats did. They had until 4 o'clock. So now they've got this dramatic thing that's going to happen. State Patrol officers were pretty much stony silent when they were in the gallery. But they're saying now, if we can't, we're doing everything we can. We might not have exhausted quite everything, but we're trying to compel these senators back to the body. And if one of the senators is identified or about to come into Wisconsin, they're going to be arrested. They're going to be picked up and brought back to the Senate chamber. Oh, I'd like to see the video on that, right? So this has been 2 weeks and counting. And the governor said, that's it. I'm going to start issuing these layoff notices on Friday. If this bill isn't passed by Friday, that's what we're doing. So now you got two different things in this. You're going to pick up the Democrats, force them back into the Senate, and they're going to get fined not just $100. Now they're saying $250 a day. Plus, we're just going to start laying people off. You don't want to make a vote on this? Then we're going to do what we have to do. And we're going to just furlough people. That's what's going to happen. So sadly, you know, pick your poison. Hey, you might not be safe about losing your collective bargaining agreement rights, but at the same time, would you rather lose those and have a job or just not have a job in teaching? That's how bad it's gotten. And oh, by the way, the NFL Players Union, they extended their lockout deadline because this was D-Day for them. By 24 hours. So they're just, it's the battle of the billionaires, the owners, and the millionaires. And what's at stake is the NFL season next year. I don't think that they cut a deal. I think when the 24 hours is up, they're not going to have an agreement. Then are they going to keep doing the same thing that they're doing in Washington and do it over and over and over again? I don't think so. Stay with us.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need My Pillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, My Pillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. My Pillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. My Pillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. My Pillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Welcome back to America Tonight. In for your health, cosmetic surgery, is it on the rise? What are the procedures a lot of people are having done? Are both men and women having a lot of surgery done? You know, Los Angeles seems to be ground zero for cosmetic surgery, but not just Los Angeles. Los Angeles, Miami, it's huge in Miami, big in Dallas, and pretty much everywhere. You know, we broadcast to, as I always say, nooks and crannies all over the place. And more people are having little nips and tucks done, sometimes more, sometimes less. But I think it's become very common and acceptable. It's not like it used to be maybe, I don't know, 35, 40 years ago. Somebody who knows much more about cosmetic surgery than I do is cosmetic surgeon Dr. Jeff Carruth. And he hails from the Plano area, just a stone's throw away from Dallas. That's where his office is. Dr. Jeff, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So it's not taboo. I mean, this is what you do for a living. But honestly, we can have that discussion. It's not taboo. It's not something that's hidden where you're wearing the dark glasses and nobody talks about it. I think people, men and women, it's acceptable. And people talk about having things done, don't they?
Well, I think it's become more and more acceptable. And people are opting to look younger. And there's newer technologies that are able to basically, you know, help a person look younger without really having to go under the knife or having to go undergo a recovery period, and they can pretty much go back to work in a day or two. And even if somebody does notice a little bit of something, then they really don't seem to be bothered by that too much.
Yeah, I agree. I've run into people and guys too that'll tell you, hey, you say you look great. What did you do? And they'll tell you. I mean, you're not saying that they had something done, but they'll volunteer and say, oh, by the way, I had this done for a facelift. It used to be, I think, a much more arduous task. You know, and you're the doctor, so you know. But now it's gotten easier, right? Is there new techniques with the facelift? In other words, that make it an easier procedure for the person?
Well, I think that, you know, facelifts have evolved over time. And I think in general, you know, a lot of women are opting to start in their, you know, younger years, say, you know, 30s or 40s, and to take better care of their skin and to use other products such as fillers that may stimulate collagen or other types of skin rejuvenation procedures so that they're, you know, less likely to need a facelift or prolong a typical facelift with good results. And I think these people are, you know, very eager to come in and do, you know, some fillers or some of the newer skin rejuvenation type techniques that, you know, include things like platelet-rich plasma, which can be, you know, used for regeneration and healing, and some of the newer technology, which is more regenerative medicine type procedures, such as stem cell technology, where you're using your own fat-derived stem cells to help rejuvenate the tissue, the skin and the soft tissue in the face, and also to add volume with, for instance, fat transfer, or transferring fat from one place of your body to another where you want more volume. And so I think the traditional facelift is becoming, you know, less desirable when there are other opportunities that you, other options that provide a good result with very minimal downtime and very minimal, you know, very minimal, recovery.
Yeah. Well, what's the most popular type of procedure that you do? What are you seeing a lot of now?
Well, I think the liposuction is still the most common procedure done in cosmetics, but I think that, you know, the liposuction procedures have become more advanced, and so I think they're still have a little bit of a bad ring to the name liposuction, but some of the newer technologies using laser or using other types of technologies that are easier to perform in the office under local anesthesia. The patient can get back to work in a couple of days. They're really not limited in their activity much. And, you know, they only have to wear compression for a couple of weeks. And, you know, these people come in, they're getting younger and younger. They come in, they're, you know, 20s and certainly 30s, 40s, and 50s. But more and more women doing it in their 20s where they just can't get the shape that they want. They come in and they have a procedure done to get rid of their, you know, a little bit of fat on their thighs or their love handle or something like that, and then they, you know, they go back to work in a day or two, and I think that's a very, very popular procedure. I'm still seeing a lot of breast augmentations. Women still generally, you know, want bigger breasts, and so we, you know, are seeing certainly an increase in the number of younger women who want to do breast augmentations as well. And I think it's just becoming, like you said, more and more acceptable to have a procedure to enhance your body and your image. And so a lot of people are opting to do that. And like you said as well, they're not afraid to show all their friends their new breast.
Yeah. I've heard that from a lot of people that it's not, again, we go back to what I said at the very beginning. It's not a taboo thing anymore. Or has there ever been anyone that's come in where you said, oh, you just don't need this done right now. You're beautiful. You look great. You're too young or whatever. Have you ever turned somebody away or you haven't run into that?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's occasionally a person who will come in for liposuction who obviously has a distorted body image and probably has some type of eating disorder. And those people, you just, you know, you try and, you know, be honest with them and tell them they're just not a good candidate for these types of procedures. But, you know, overall, most of the people are good candidates that I see in the office. You know, some of them are more particular than others. There's some of them that are women that I see that work out, you know, four or five times a week, and they're running and they're doing all this stuff, and they look great, but they have a little bit of fat on their outer thigh, or maybe a little bit of fat on their, you know, abdomen that they just can't get rid of. And it's not that they're overweight or out of shape. They just can't get the figure that they want in the gym and by dieting. And those are the ideal people that will do, especially the newer types of body contouring, which are really excellent for reshaping somebody, not only to remove the fat, but also to help tighten the skin and give the skin more, you know, just a better look.
Yeah. Somebody told me another thing that's going on is there are a lot of people it's the same thing. It's what you don't like in your looks, that there are a lot of people that are getting surgery to reduce what you would call their ethnic look. And so what does that mean? Like somebody doesn't like their shape of their eyes, they don't like something with another part of their body, or what does that mean when we say that they don't like their ethnic look?
Well, I think it can go either way. I mean, there's certainly ethnic a lot of people in the United States now from other areas of the world, and some of them don't like the way that they appear and want to look more like the models or the movie stars or the celebrities that they see, and then there's other people that really want to just, they just have a goal of looking like another ethnicity. And so there's, that's more and more common. I think that the eyes are a typical example where, some, for instance, Asian women don't like the look of their eyes and the configuration of their face and want to try and improve their eyes or at least change their shape of their face where they don't have as much of an Asian look to them, and so that's just that's up to the person, and that is not unusual to see now.
Yeah, so that's what I heard, that it's not very unusual. It goes back to the same thing, they want to look like the models or the movie stars. I think you hit the nail on the head there. What are you seeing as far as men are concerned? Do you get men that come in too, or there, it's not just women? Is there a part of your business where you have men that'll come in?
Yeah, about 20% of my business is men, and men are typically good shape, 30, 40, 50 year old men who, they're working out, they're taking good care of themselves, but again, they can't get rid of their stomach, or they can't get rid of their love handles, or they have a little more volume in their chest than they want, or an older man who maybe is in his 40s, 50s, or even 60s, who has a little laxity of the neck, who wants to, tighten that up and appear younger. So, yeah, I think men are definitely more acceptable of cosmetic procedures, and including Botox and fillers and things like that as well. They're definitely more open to these types of procedures to help them either look better, for instance, for dating purposes, or potentially just to look younger for the for their business. To maintain their status in their company or their field of business that they're in.
Yeah, Dr. Jeff, when you went into this, was this your goal? Did you know you were going to be a cosmetic surgeon when you decided to go? When you decided to go to med school and whatnot.
Actually, it kind of evolved over time, and in the last 6 or so years, I've been strictly doing cosmetic surgery. So it's kind of evolved into cosmetics over the last 20 years. But I think that it is a very interesting field, and there's a lot of new research and a lot of new procedures and techniques, and it's still evolving. I think there's the future of cosmetic surgery is going to continue to grow because there's so many people that want these procedures, and I think as time goes on, it's going to be easier for people to have these procedures done, return to work, and without maybe some of the more invasive type surgical procedures that were done in the past. And so, yeah, I think that people are looking at this as a very popular alternative to looking younger or feeling younger or just looking better and having more self-confidence.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's been a pleasure visiting with you, Dr. Jeff Caruth. Thank you so much for coming on America's Night.
For For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You really can lose weight while you're sleeping. Guaranteed. AffinityDiet.com introduces Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet. Great tasting Lose and Snooze from AffinityDiet.com is the first step in our guaranteed weight loss system. Lose and Snooze will help your body get a deep restorative sleep without the harmful side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And during deep natural sleep, your body starts to shed unwanted pounds, build lean muscle, and lose inches. Add AffinityDiet.com's One Day Diet waivers and your metabolism keeps going with all the vitamins and minerals you need with no rebound effect. But don't worry, you're never more than 24 hours from your favorite foods. Learn more about Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet at AffinityDiet.com, spelled AffinityDiet.com, or call toll free 855-663-3438. That's 855-663-3438. Finally, a diet that succeeds where others have failed, from AffinityDiet.com.
As we head for the finish line on this hour of America Tonight, we have a couple of fair or fouls for you. And guess what? It has to do with guns. I'm not sure you're going to understand the lane I'm going down. It's very different things. But guess what? Both deal with Mexico. Felipe Calderon, who I make no secret of, I have no use for, the relationship with Calderon as the president of Mexico, his declaring war on illegal drugs and cartels, has gotten worse. Okay. But once he decided, when he addressed both chambers, the Senate and Congress, and took a big slap at Arizona, that's when I knew I was done with this man. Because whether or not you thought the governor, Jan Brewer, signing in the law, which never took effect because of the legal challenges, that would have upped the ante in stopping, in a sense, illegal immigration. There was some confusion over how it would be enforced or whatever. But regardless, because Arizona became such a prime target, when Felipe Calderon made the comments about Arizona in front of both chambers, and then they applauded, many applauded. Oh, I was just disgusted. Even if you don't agree with what happened there,
I mean, come on. It's our country. Sorry, Felipe. You do something about it then. More than this empty rhetoric. Give me a break. So the conversation has shifted where guns are concerned to whether or not our agents should be armed in Mexico. And the reason it came up is because of the agent, the ICE agent, who was gunned down. Remember, he was in a car. He was headed toward Mexico City. We know the story by now. They were pulled over, basically forced off the road, and then shot. One survived, one did not. So since 1990, our law enforcement folks have not been able to carry a gun inside of Mexico, which personally I think is ridiculous. So the president does not agree. The president thinks there shouldn't be any guns for agents in Mexico. This is a war. And it's not that we have cowboys that are going to be running down to Mexico to just start shooting. I mean, we're talking about, like, our ICE guys. We're talking about our agents who have to go their own business. I mean, you know what it's going to be like? What's the movie with Harrison Ford where they went to, I think it was Latin America, and they were had to be taken in caravans, which is what happens in some really nasty parts of the world. You're in bulletproof caravans to get to where you're going. So is that what's going to have to happen when we have people in Mexico? I mean, when we have law enforcement people in Mexico? The president agrees with Felipe Calderon, with the president, his counterpart in Mexico, saying, you know, let's reject the idea of arming these guys. After he met with him, he thought, you know, it's not such a great thing. Why? Why is it not such a great thing? We're not saying arming American citizens who are going to Cancun and Acapulco and even from Brownsville, Texas, over the border. We're not saying that. And once again, to me, it seems like Calderon just controls the game here. So it makes no sense to me. Would I want to be an agent? Would I want to be a federal agent after what happened? And would I want to be that vulnerable and not have a chance just in case one of these drug cartels targets me? The answer is yes. I'd want to have at least, pardon the pun, a shot at defending myself. And Obama says, you know what, there are laws in place in Mexico that say our agents shouldn't be armed. And we don't carry out law enforcement activities inside of Mexico. So that speculation about how far our administration would push in reforming that there are safety measures in response to the killing 3 weeks ago of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent Jaime Zapata in Mexico is obviously it's going nowhere. And that's why I said, fair or foul, ladies and gentlemen. I say foul. Come on. Are you kidding? We're doing everything we can to help in Mexico, for God's sake. And so these guys can't be armed. And after meeting, both presidents just really stressed that the agents can't have a weapon, that they should not have a weapon. And I could not disagree more with that. I think they need protection. They did say they would look at procedures and protocols for how to better protect them and that they would analyze some of the alternatives, but they will not allow the guns. All right, speaking of that, and this also has to do with Mexico, in the meantime, how about this crazy story? I mean, just unbelievable. The ATF is now reviewing some gun running operations that they held, I guess, outside of the boundaries that a lot of people thought shouldn't have happened. And in fact, one of the weapons that walked away, they call them walkaways, that walked away was in the hands of somebody who decided to go after one of our border patrol agents. Now you can hear Mahalo in the background. Mahalo! This love, this is live radio. He had an antsy dog who wants to get in on the discussion. He didn't like it when I started talking about the guns. Immediately, he disagreed, so he wanted to throw in his two cents. Anyway, this ATF thing here, what happened and how the story broke, is they had this brilliant idea, which I think is not a brilliant idea, to allow 1,700 guns to flow into Mexico across the border, and with the expectation that the weapons would cross and they would be able to track them to cartels. Now, if you tell me, they say, okay, listen, we're gonna let some weapons go, and we know they're gonna probably get into the wrong hands, but then the idea is we can trace these weapons and nail these guys, nail some of these guys from these cartels or thugs or whoever, just certain bands of, I don't know, gangs. And so ultimately, there was a whistleblower, and ultimately one of the guns is used against an American. A Border Patrol agent was killed with one of the weapons that was let go out of our country intentionally. What was the ATF thinking? Am I not looking at this right? Does that make any sense to anybody? And what happens? This is the typical governmental nonsense. So the ATF, as soon as the story leaks, because, you know, that wasn't supposed to get out, as soon as the story leaks, because one of the agents felt so badly, knew this was going to happen, knew something horrible was going to happen, and couldn't carry the burden around anymore, so then all the stuff's released, including memos. Then the ATF says, oh, well, we're going to review the gun-running operations. It doesn't sound right to begin with, does it? Now, not that I'm so naive to think that we haven't had things like this in the past, but just absolutely, absolutely boggles the mind. So you have a frontline agent who fiercely objected. He was the whistleblower, John Dotson, who said that the guns are going to turn up in crimes on both sides of the border. And sure enough, that's what's starting to happen. That's what's starting to happen. So you have Senator Charles Grassley, the panel's top Republican, who is looking into what went on here. How did this happen? Why are we always saying, how does this happen? How does this go under the radar? And then you have Attorney General Eric Holder, who's asking the department to evaluate the concerns about this kind of investigative tactic. Did they sit around the table and say, listen, this is what we're going to do. We have 1,700 guns. It's going to be walkaway guns. And then this is going to help us nail people. They didn't think it was going to be, they were going to be used in crimes that could actually hurt innocent people or hurt one of our own. I mean, come on, give me a break. All right, so you might have some thoughts on that or some of the other things that we talked about here on America Tonight. You can get to us through the website. All roads lead there. AmericaTonight.net. Mahalo says bye.